Today, as we continue in our Lenten series that we've been undertaking here, understanding what it means to walk by faith and then coming to the reality that walking by faith means living by faith. Because walking in Hebrew means to live. Walking in the context that it's given to us means how we go about our lives, which really does tie into the children's sermon, because our lives are to show who and what we are. And we are to be that religious symbol. We are to be as Christ in this world. So when we understand that, then we need to ask ourselves, how was Christ in this world? And what does it truly mean to live by faith? And we've been answering that question in many aspects over these past several weeks. And today we're going to look at another, because we have come into Palm Sunday and we're headed towards Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday. And as we come to that reality, one of the things that I want us to look at is what is coming next, the very next step in Christ's passion. From the time that he came in until Maundy Thursday, everything that he was up until this time, what was he? You see, he did not come as a conquering king. He came as a suffering servant. It's one of the reasons that the Jews rejected him. And it's also the life that we are supposed to live. So if you would, turn in your scriptures with me, as it shows you there in your bulletin, to John in the 13th chapter. And we're going to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 17. And as we understand these words, as we come under, that's what it means to understand, to come under, as we come under this word, may it envelop us and reach into our hearts, lifting us to higher heights. Hearken now unto the word of the Lord. From the 13th chapter of the book of John, in the first verse, we read these words. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from the Father and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I want you to envision what's taking place in the upper room at this moment. Here's this man, Jesus, that these people have been following for quite some time. It's the 12 that are with him, including Judas Iscariot. And he's all of a sudden getting undressed and girding a towel around his waist in the midst of a dinner. They're getting ready to serve dinner. And this dinner is not just any dinner. What dinner is it? The Passover feast. Now, a lot of people say, now, wait a minute, isn't the Passover Easter? Well, I want you to remember the Jews argued about when the Passover was supposed to be. There were two calendars. There was the calendar of the Sadducees, and there was the calendar of the priests. Okay? And the priests celebrated it on one day, and the Sadducees celebrated it on another day. And at this point in time, Christ is getting ready to take the Passover meal, the Seder meal, with his group. Okay? So they were celebrating the Passover, realizing that the temple Passover wasn't for a couple of days yet, because that's when the priests celebrated the Passover. So we have to understand that there's some controversy in Israel. How much controversy is there in our world today about religious things? There's a lot of controversy about religious things. And in the midst of that controversy, Jesus does something even more controversial. Here he is, the teacher, the head, the one who should be leading this, and all of a sudden he starts getting undressed and wrapping a towel around his waist, and these guys had no idea what he was doing. This was something new. This was something that they had not seen before. but it was something that he was going to illustrate to them, which was a representation of the entire time that he has existed as an itinerant minister, as he took up his cross of Messiah from the wedding at Canaan to this point in time. He has been teaching them one thing and one thing only. He's been teaching us, the church, one thing and one thing only. What is that one thing? That we must live a life of sacrifice in service. Our lives are not our own. Jesus had taught that and taught that and taught that, and so many people didn't get it. And in the United States of America, that is one of the hardest things to teach the church, that we are servants, that we are to serve one another, that we should think more of others than ourselves. How did Jesus show that? Jesus showed that by the very model that he was taking here. He who was the head, the teacher, the prophet, the Messiah, took the lowliest role in their entire event that was getting ready to take place. Because the lowest servant of the household is the one who would wash your feet. And if you notice, there's nowhere here where it makes any mention that there was any servant there to wash their feet. Remember, they had just made the triumphal entry, and Jesus rode in on the donkey, and now they're at the place of the Passover, and they went upstairs, and the banquet's laid out. But there's no one there to wash their feet. There's no one there to clean them, to make them presentable. Okay? Who takes that role? The suffering servant. Our servant, our Lord, our Savior, God Himself takes the role of being a servant. No man is above the master. We're going to hear that in just a few minutes. And that is something that each of us needs to hold on to. Because in our lives, how many of us have put ourselves above God because we fail to serve Him? Let's read on. Then He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. So He came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." There are many times in our lives that when we come to the place of coming before the Father, we come before Him with a wonderful list of things that we need. We come before Him with this great expectation that He's going to do something for us. We want God to serve us, don't we? Let's all be real. We want God to serve us. We want Him to answer our prayers. That is service. When you go to a restaurant and you walk in and you sit down, you expect the waiter to come to you in a timely manner and take your order and then deliver to you what you've asked. What do we consider waiters? They are servers, are they not? What do we want of God? We want Him to serve us. But no man is above his master. We forget that principle. We forget that reality. Because you see, God coming to us shows us where we ought to be in our spirit once we have received Him. Once He dwells in us, we need to take the same attitude and the same position that God has taken in our lives towards the lives of others around us, including our spouses, including our children, yet remaining head over it all. Jesus never gave up His headship when He became a servant. In fact, what He did do was elevate himself to the point where those who were around him knew the love that he had for him, for them, and he was willing, they were willing to submit to him. How many good leaders do you know out there who will get in the trenches with the very people who are doing the labor, and they're respected, they're trusted, they're honored? And that's in the working world. But in the church, we want it now, and we want it our way. And many times we give ultimatums that if we don't get it our way, well, we might just leave. Well, one of the things that we need to remember when we're saying that, you're not leaving a church, you're leaving Christ. You're exiting Him. So we have to check our attitudes, because to live a life of service, of sacrifice of service, means that we think of others more than ourselves. And the one we think of most more than ourselves is who? God, Jesus Christ, who became the foot washer, who became the lowest of the low. And believe me, this isn't the only time he showed that. He shows it on Easter Sunday, on Good Friday, in its fullest manner, when he climbs upon the tree. Did you notice what I just said there? Because he went to that tree. We didn't put him there. The nails that held him, they represent our sin. But Jesus went willingly. No man forced him on that tree. He could have called legions of angels and ended it all, but he willingly went. Why? Because he was thinking of us who weren't even born yet. He was thinking of the generations that are yet to come. He was thinking of a service, a sacrifice of service that would bring millions to eternity. And that's where our hearts need to be. If we're to walk by faith, we need to think not about tomorrow, not about 5 years from now, but 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, a lifetime beyond us. Because our God is eternal, we need to begin to think in eternal measures. Because the things that we do now, the service that we provide now to our brothers and sisters, who's watching? Our youth are watching. And they are formulating their faith by what they see and what we aggregate to them. You and I are the very symbol of Christ. Do you see how this youth sermon not only played in last week, but plays in this week? I thought I messed up not having it last week. But as I put this sermon together, I realized, wow, Lord, it really does fit here a whole lot better, doesn't it? Aren't you glad He's God and not me? I know I am. So as we understand and we begin to realize that as Christ lowered Himself here, and the Apostle Peter, I love the Apostle Peter. How many of us can understand Peter? Right there. Amen. Right there. Yep, that's our guy. Because he is us. He is we. And we are him. And he says in all his piety, "No, Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And Jesus says to him so plainly and so clearly, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Jesus is not talking about washing Peter's feet there, is he? He's talking about being cleansed from sin. He's talking about what is yet to come in the crucifixion and in the resurrection. He's talking about the reality that lest Jesus take our sin away, lest he become the one to clean us from our sins, we're stuck in them. Brothers and sisters, do you know, lest we go out there and help free people from their sins, We are as Christ to this world. There are people out there who are stuck in their stuff and they don't think there's any forgiveness for them. We need to share our story. One of the greatest ways that you can help someone is to share your story, to let them know where you came from and love them where they are. You know, I can't wait for the day when we have people come in here with purple hair and piercings and what are the things in their ears? Plugs, gauges, okay? We've got these people coming in that don't look like us. Why? Because they're going to stretch us. Because I want you to think about something. How many people in this room know your junk? That if they really knew your junk, how many of you would be willing to share all your junk? But the reality is, I don't care about your junk. If you're in Christ, He's taken it. I just simply need to be Christ and welcome you in. Because God accepts people where they are, and He transforms them to where He wants us to be. Do you notice I changed the tense there? How many of us are still in that reality, that Christ is still washing our feet? He's still cleaning us up. You know, I have a T-shirt and I love to wear it. I forget who gave it to me. It really was a gift. And it's got this big bass on the front because, I like to go fishing. Okay? It says, "We catch them, God cleans them." And that's the reality. If a homosexual walked in these doors and wanted acceptance, I would accept the man or the woman. I would never accept their sin, but I would love them. If a drug addict walked in this door, an alcoholic walked in this door, a pedophile who's been in prison and has been set right walked in this door, now would I set that pedophile up and allow them to work with our children? Absolutely not. I don't want to set them up to failure. But could I set them up to work in the men's ministry? Could I set them up to bring communion to our shut-ins? Yes. Because if that person has truly been changed by the blood of Christ, they are no longer that same person, are they? Who are we to judge, lest we be judged? We need to serve every man, woman, and child who comes, because lest they be washed by Christ, they'll never be clean. And brothers and sisters, you and I are the first example of Christ that they may ever know. We are to live a life of sacrifice, of service, loving one another, loving our fellow brethren. That's you and I, but loving the lost to life. You know, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday are not for the church. We've already received it. They are for now the lost. We stand in glory because we understand these things and we celebrate them in thanksgiving. But there is a group of people out there that is billions strong who know not Palm Sunday because they've not seen their King of Kings. They don't even know His name. They don't know Maundy Thursday because they've not been washed. They know not Good Friday, for their sins have not been atoned for. And they know not Easter Sunday, for they do not live that new life because they have not heard the name of Jesus Christ, because the church is not going out and bringing them in. The church is not going out and spreading the word of the gospel because it's not popular anymore. And we don't want to be persecuted. And it's not comfortable. You mean I got to talk to strangers? Guess what? You're a stranger to them too. And we're to be a peculiar people. We were talking about this just the other night. We were over at Dan and Clara's house for dinner and just talking to them. And we were talking about John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Locusts and honey. How many of you want to become John the Baptist? And what did he wear? Camel skin. Now, many of us have camel hair coats. I was going to wear mine today, but it just didn't match any of the pants that I really have for this time of year. But in that day, it was literally camel skin. It was the leather with the hair on it. And the way they tanned leather back then, it stank. Do you think people really wanted to emulate John the Baptist? They wanted his teaching. They wanted what he had to offer. But he was a peculiar dude. He was the one with the gauges and the piercings and the weird stuff, the purple hair. We all sit around prim, proper, looking pretty because the outside's cleaned up. But what about the inside? That's where God does his work, amen. So let's let him do another work. Let's let him do a work of cleaning us up inside that we too may be as he was. Why do I say that? Well, let's read on. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? Get this. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Blessed be the word of our Lord. There's the principle, folks. If God is willing to serve us, aren't we to be willing to serve others in that same likeness? His love poured out into our lives gives us that sense of reality that we matter. There's a whole world out there that needs to know Christ. And the only way they're going to get to know Him is if they find someone whom is filled with the Spirit of God, who shows them that Christ matters to them, that they matter to Christ. And that means serving them, not lording it over, not going out there and hitting them over the head with the Bible. You know, I love it when the Mormons come to my house. I love it when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house because they want to hit you over the head with their Bible. They want to give you that sense that they know what's right and you don't. Well, guess what? I know what's wrong because I've been there and I'm not ashamed to share how Christ has set me free from it. That's the opposite direction, and that's the direction that Christ is coming from. He knows our need. He gets into our need and delivers what we need, which is truly the spiritual cleansing of our sin and our souls. And as you and I are willing to get out there and give that sacrifice of love, that sacrifice of service, God in all His infinite wisdom is going to come to the place of rescuing that individual. I'm sending Pete to get the kids. I'm just about done. You and I want to live a life that God's going to bless. You and I want to see this church grow. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, God tells us very clearly, and Miss Marion teaches us this in finances, and we get taught this if you go through marriage counseling with me or any other type of counseling, we're taught this very principle, and it's a very real principle. And it's so simple, it's stupid. If we will not be found faithful with what we already know, how will God put us in charge of spiritual things? These things we know, for we've seen them and we've experienced them in Him and from Him. But if we're not willing to put them into practice, do you think for one moment God will bless us as a body? We got to get it right. I think it's amazing because I listen to so many pastors on TV, and I swear their churches must have it all right. Because when I listen to these folks, it's like, wow, Pastor, you're talking a good line there. You know, God does love us. God gives us hope and joy. He gives us blessing. He gives us rain. He gives us sun. He gives us snow. How many are looking forward to the snow tonight? Oh, I want at least another 6 inches. You know, just one more snow for the winter. We only got two. We got a little one and a big one. One more nice little one. Because the roads are warm, it'll go away quick. But the grass would look nice, especially with the crocuses in it. It'd be so cute. But you see, it's not what we expect, is it? It's springtime. It's the same way in this reality that I'm speaking about. It's not what you expect. It's what God expects from us. Because it's what He's given to us. It's what He's shown us. It's who He is. And it's who we're to be. You and I, and this is something I hope that you understand from Pastor. God wants us to grow. Because until we get these things right, do you think He's going to bring people in here that we can mess up? We say that we are the heart of Christ Church, transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. Well, until ours are sold out and transformed. Now, are we going to be transformed fully? No. But He wants us transformed to the point where, as others come, we're able to lead them in that right direction. Brother Bob wants to start, and I've given him the okay, to start a evangelism team. But what he doesn't realize is before he gets it started, he has to come up with a mission statement. He has to come up with goals. He has to come up with a team. He has to have prayer meetings. He has to have all this stuff set out there. Because if he starts going out and evangelizing and he wins 3 people to Christ and they come in these doors and we're not ready to receive them because we're not ready to serve them, they're going right back out those doors. And they're not sticking around. You see, the transformation, Jesus said it, and I reiterate it, begins with the church. We need to change. We are His likeness. We need to be that likeness. We need to be the suffering servant, willing, wanting to get in the muck and the mire, because we know that when we crawl out of it, it's not coming with us because Jesus already made us clean. Isn't that what we just read? For he who is already clean is clean indeed. We only need our feet washed. And that's where we are in Christ Jesus. Let us walk by faith. Let us live by faith. Let us give that sacrifice of service as Christ showed us and gave Himself up for us. Let us continue giving until there's nothing left. And then we can say, as Paul said, I am as a drink offering. I have been poured out. There's nothing left. Because when you enter eternity in that state, guess what God does on the other side? He fills you up one last time. And that's eternally. It never ends. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we come before you as a people who have been cleansed, as a people who are trying to walk by faith and be transformed. Help us to understand this word and come under it, that as we see you, our King of Kings, coming before us, that we won't forget who you are tomorrow, that we will rejoice that you have called us to this place, and that we will pour our lives out as a sacrifice of service to you as you poured out your life to us. That the life we give is not for our own recognition, but for those who would see you in the pouring out. For Lord God, you've asked us to be as you are, to come and sup with you and you with us. So too, Lord, may we be poured out as you were poured out. And may we receive from you the blessing of growth, of love, of life, and yes, Lord, prosperity, that you may see your kingdom come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.